to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast, your audio source for what's going on in the Chicago theater scene. Well, coming up on today's podcast, we have an interview with Felicia Fields. She will be talking to Tom Williams about her show, The Color Purple, which is, of course, the tour of the hit Broadway show coming here to Chicago. Also, we have another audio review for your listening pleasure. And of course, as always, Chicago's theater news. So sit back and relax, and get ready to talk some theater. Hello, Chicago, and welcome to another episode of the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Moat, bringing you the theater news for the week of December 11th, 2006. Chicago's Spelling Bee will be presenting Game Night at the Bee. That's right, starting on Wednesday, December 6th, the audiences of the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee will be able to get in on the buzz that's been going around the country. A pre-show board game competition called Game Night at the Bee will kick off at 6 o'clock before the Wednesday night performances of the Broadway hit musical. Audience members and participants will gather in the lobby of the Drury Lane Water Tower Theater and challenge each other to games like Boggle, Taboo, Scrabble, and what's being billed as the latest craze in linguistic fun, crosswords. The exciting pre-show battle will be highlighted each week by the one and only Hungry Hungry Hippos Spelling Championship, which is, of course, a first of its kind anywhere. Remember, the Putnam County Spelling Bee is an open-ended engagement at the Drury Lane Water Tower Theater here in Chicago. For more information, click on over to Talk Theater in Chicago's Now Playing section. Lucava Productions has announced the performers and workshops for its 6th annual Chicago Sketch Comedy Festival. That's right, the festival will be held on January 4th through the 14th at the Theater Building Chicago, and it is the largest sketch comedy festival in the nation. The festival will showcase over 100 sketch comedy groups over a two-week period, and many of them are based right here out of Chicago. There will also be a guest panel of experts during the Master Sketch Workshop series on Saturday. Some of the distinguished celebrities will be Harold Ramis, the director of the stage and screen, Mark Napier, a Second City main stage director, Kelly Leonard, one of the founders of Annoyance Theater, and TJ Jagodowski, the head of the writing program at the Second City Training Center. Tickets for the Chicago Sketch Comedy Festival are currently on sale. For more information, call the Theater Building Chicago's box office at 773-327-5252. Again, that's 773-327-5252. Or just click on over to Talk Theater in Chicago's Theater News section. August Wilson's final play, Radio Golf, will be making its Chicago premiere at the Goodman Theater on January 13th. Radio Golf will be the centerpiece in the Goodman Theater's August Wilson Celebration, which is a tribute to the late Pulitzer Prize and Tony Award-winning American playwright. The show is not only the final play in Wilson's powerful decade-by-decade exploration of the African-American experience of the 20th century, it also happens to be his final play in life. It was just completed mere months before his death back in 2005. Kenny Leon will be returning to the Goodman to direct the play, which opens in the Albert Theater on January 13th. For more information, you know where to click. And Talk Theater in Chicago would like to congratulate all the drag shows in the Chicago area. Just recently, the Chicago City Council Zoning Committee approved a measure sponsored by Alderman Tom Tunney that removes restrictions on any club where female impersonators perform on a nightly basis. Such shows used to fall under the adult entertainment category and had to be kept very far away from any residence, church, or park. But now the famous female impersonating drag clubs will be in the same category as nightclubs, cabarets, and theaters. And you're sure to see a lot more of them here around Chicago. Well, thank you very much for listening to this episode of the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. We have come to the end of the news, but before we let you go, it's time for your Shakespeare Quote of the Week. The following quote comes from King John, Act 5, Scene 4. Welcome home again, discarded faith. Well, thank you again for listening to the podcast. Remember, we are here every Monday with a new episode ready to stick in your ears. So until next time, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you that theater's happening. Don't miss it.
Hello, this is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's review podcast. Here is my review of Black Nativity, a gospel song play by Langston Hughes. Black Nativity, a gospel song play by Langston Hughes, produced by Congo Square Theater at the Duncan YMCA in Chicago. Exuberant toe-tapping celebration propels Black Nativity. Put the celebration back into Christmas with Black Nativity, an amazing, engaging, and wonderful show. Congo Square Theater continues to mount outstanding theater experiences in their third annual production of director-choreographer Mike Ballone's Black Nativity is a tremendous affair. And let me note that during the first week of December, Mike Ballone at age 63 passed away. We mourn for him and we send our condolences to his family. This high-spirited show is a hand-clapping, toe-tapping Christmas treat that is pure joy. I loved every minute of this polished gospel song play. Make it top on your holiday selection list. Black Nativity has been staged around the USA by Mike Ballone since 1979, but it only arrived here a few years ago and now seems to be an annual event. This is my second experience with this outstanding show, and I liked it more the second time. It is the most energetic, spirited holiday show in town. Add this gem to your list of must-see shows of the year. Featuring 16 stellar performances, including 5 fabulous dancers, this show grabs us as it combines gospel narration of the birth of the Christ child with a distinct African-American perspective, using poetry, dance, and song to dramatize and celebrate the birth of the Messiah. From the uplifting Joy to the World spectacle with the entire cast adorned in colorful African and Middle East period costumes, flanked by straw-skirted dancers, we see and hear the gospel come to life. The emotions and angst that Joseph and Mary experience trying to find lodging through the No Room Blues song and the birth number is a riveting dance depicting the pain of childbirth. Rousing celebration of the nativity and several hand-clapping spirituals such as Go Tell It to the Mountain. I have not witnessed a more moving religious experience in years. Even non-believers will be affected. Act 1 plays like a gospel operetta, combining strong voices that produce rich harmonies and stunning solos. The choreography uses ballet and modern dance with influences of African movement to accentuate the emotion of the story. Act 2 opens with an up-tempo African Noel, wonderfully danced and sung. The story becomes a history of gospel music in America, from its African roots to the influence of the old Negro spirituals that utilize many African rhythms and bluesy feelings. Climb Up the Mountain and Deep River depict the ritual of baptism. The show moves into a happy, hopeful, feel-good mode, ending with one fast up-tempo toe-tapping number after another until we feel the spirit and the joy of the holiday. This is an exhilarating experience. The singers possess rich voices that feature the variety of styles in the best traditions of gospel music. I can't think of a finer introduction to gospel music and African American culture than through Black Nativity. The artistic merits and quality performances, choreography, staging, and vocals make this show one of the best. My rating on this show is highly recommended. It is Black Nativity. It is at the Duncan YMCA, which is located at 1001 West Roosevelt Road in Chicago. The show runs 2 hours and 10 minutes. It runs through December 31st. And for more information and tickets, call 312-587-2292. That's 312-587-2292. This is Tom Williams, and wishing you a great holiday. And remember, go see a play this week. Thank you. Hello, this is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. Our special guest this week is the Chicago performer who is one of the stars of the hit Broadway show A Color Purple, which will be opening in Chicago in April of 2007. Hello, Felicia Fields.
Hello, how are you?
Great. Tell us about The Color Purple.
Okay, Color Purple is a phenomenal piece of musical theater that is about heart. It's about soul. It has a journey that spans for someone of any age. It really is a show that gets an emotional charge going for anybody who sits in the theater. I keep saying that it is an experience in theater like none other, where most theater pieces you go and experience, you come out entertained. When you come out of there, your life has changed.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a life-changing experience.
Well, I remember the film. I consider it one of the great films of all time.
Yes.
And the book. I read the book, and it's one of my favorite pieces.
Yes, and this is much more based on the book than on the film.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So it does differ.
Yes.
And you play Sophia, right?
Yes.
Tell us about Sophia.
Oh, Sophia. She's a strong-willed woman who is older than Harpo, and is in love with Harpo, but Harpo has taken advice from his father on that old-fashioned way of treating women. And as a result of that, he gets physically brought down. He gets brought down physically because Sophia does not take that. And he raises his
hands. That was the role that originated by
Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah.
Right.
And
right.
You have the big song in that act one, right? The Hell No at
the
dinner.
Yeah, that's that big song that it's become like a woman's anthem. So it is really a powerful, powerful piece of theater.
Wow.
Yeah.
And tell us how you got cast in the show.
Well, I happen to know Gary Griffin, who is been directing here for many years, and I was doing Carousel at the Marriott Lincolnshire.
I remember seeing that production.
Yes, and when, you know, we have a tech day, we get our costumes on for the first time, and I walked past the mirror and I said, oh my God, I look like Oprah Winfrey in The Color Purple. So I went limping down the aisle, and I went, you told Harpo to beat me. And he says, well, if I ever do the musical The Color Purple, I already have Sophia.
You're kidding.
And you wouldn't
wow.
believe it. It was a couple months later, he calls. He says, you're not going to believe this, but I have been commissioned to direct the musical The Color Purple.
Terrific
you're
story.
Kidding. Yeah.
So your eyes lit up when you...
Oh, my God. You're kidding. And we did the first workshop here in Chicago down at the Fine Arts Building. And I've been on board ever since.
Wow.
Yeah.
After being such a journeyman, let's talk about your career. You are one of those examples of the working Chicago actors.
Wow.
who I've seen you in many shows. You played Ella Fitzgerald in the Jammin' with the Pops.
Yes, right? At the Apple Tree Theater.
Yeah, I remember that. That was terrific. And I remember you in the Hot Mikado. And you're going to laugh. You remember that scene when Robbie Lehman broke you up?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw
yes.
that, Marriott, and that was fabulous.
He's a crazy man, yeah. That Robbie Lehman, yeah. and who could not be on stage with him and not fall apart?
And you fought him, too, and it became actually a part of the show.
Almost. Yes, yeah, yes, yeah. Yes.
And then I saw you in Queenie in Showboat.
Yes.
Was that That was
Drury Lane, Oakbrook.
Okay, Drury Lane, Oakbrook. Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
Yes, down here at the Goodman Theater.
Okay. Ain't Misbehaving. You've done that several times.
I've done several productions of that. One was at Apple Tree and at the Drury Lane South, which is was on 95th.
Yeah, it was. Shame. It was a terrific place.
Yes.
A lot of great shows there. And you played Dolly Levi in Hello, Dolly.
Too. Yes, that was one of my Gary Griffin specials right there. Okay. Yeah, Gary had me playing Dolly.
That had to be fun.
It was great.
Because that's a great part.
It is. It's so lively and upbeat. And
Gary is the kind of director, he's not afraid to take chances.
This is how I've managed to work all these years here, because he knows no boundaries. I can actually say that he does colorblind casting. And he takes chances. He doesn't want to be your typical director. And he succeeded in that, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes, yes. I think he's and it's a shame. The show Color Purple got a lot of recognition, but
yeah.
I felt so bad. You were nominated for Best Supporting Actress in a Musical. That had to be great.
That was amazing, because you know, you go to New York for your first production, and the thing of it is that you have a comfort zone at home because you worked for so long.
Yeah, and
you have subscribers that know you. Mm-hmm. And so when you go out of that element, you think to yourself, am I going to be able to sustain this kind of recognition? And you go there, and then they open their arms and embrace you. And you walk away with the Tony nomination. I have a Drama League Theater World Award, Clarence DeWitt Award, and 2 Broadway.com. So
wow,
yeah,
not too bad,
not shabby.
tell us about some of the difference in preparing for a show like Color Purple, and 8 performances a week in a major venue, versus doing show at Marriott or at Drury Lane.
To me, it's no difference. I mean, really, your mission is, whether there are 2 people or 2,000 people, to take people on a journey. You have to study. You have to bounce off of your cast members, and you have to bear down and get the best out of what you can bring forth. It really doesn't make any difference to me where it is. It is definitely, I mean, the stakes are higher on Broadway, because there are people that come from all over the world to see it. But as a person that's studying to be a part of a show, I want it to be the best it can be. I don't care where it is.
That's a great attitude. Because I know some people think that doing Chicago theater or doing a show here, that they don't have to expend the same amount of energy.
No.
And I
want people to walk out, you know, with a transformation from whatever part. Doesn't matter what part it is, whatever part I play.
The role you play in this show is extremely emotional.
Yes.
How do you sustain it 8 shows a week?
The lucky thing for me is that I can identify with the character quite a bit. There are different, you know, things about the character that make it easy for me to slide into the characterization of what's going on. I think the hardest for me, maybe the jail scene. Of course, Gary says that's my finest scene, because I don't talk in that scene. But my thought about a man hitting me and my reaction as Felicia makes it very easy to do it as Sophia.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Because this would truly be, honestly, my response.
Okay.
Okay.
And the advance for the Chicago. You're going to be in the Chicago production.
Oh, yeah. I'm coming home.
Yeah, that's got to be great. I have heard that the advance sales, because the show's opening in April of 2007,
mm-hmm.
The advance sales have been fantastic.
Yeah. This is a very popular piece of musical theater. When I go to work in New York, they're around the block on a matinee day. There are busloads and busloads of people coming in. They will come drive in for one day and drive right back. They'll fly in for one day and fly back out.
That's fantastic.
It is.
So we think that the Chicago folks better get on board. Broadway Chicago website and get tickets, right?
Yes, and it definitely will be worth your while. If you wanted to get it as a gift for any occasion, it is definitely something, because I hear this so much at the backstage door. This is my birthday, and this is the first time I've ever had the experience of going to theater. And
so you're attracting new people into theater. Boy, that's what we need.
It is.
Wicked has been doing that here in Chicago.
Yes.
And everyone believes that Color Purple will do the same. So they better get on board so they don't have to wait 6 months for a ticket.
Oh, yeah. You better get your ticket.
But I did not realize that. So you're drawing much more than a New York audience then.
Oh, God. You know? I was like at the backstage door one day and I came out and the guy said, oh, my God, I saw you on Oprah. And I went and got my tickets right away. I came from Australia.
Wow.
I'm like, are you kidding me? And he said, no, we flew here from Australia. We'll be here 2 days and we're flying back.
That's a terrific story.
Isn't it great?
Now, let me ask, you did meet Oprah, correct?
Oh, yeah.
What was her advice or reaction? I mean, you were playing the role.
Oprah, you react to Oprah. You kind of oh, my God, it's the O, you know. But she likes to surprise people. And so she came to one of the run-throughs. And you can only imagine that... when I looked up and saw it was her, my mouth just kind of flew open and it didn't shut for a few minutes. I was screaming and hollering. The dancers were jumping around and then it hit me. I'm the only dummy in here that's playing her role. What am I so excited about? But she was so warm and embracing and a cheerleader. And hell no, because the first time I said hell no, she jumped to her feet.
Is that right?
And started screaming, yeah.
That's amazing reaction because she's the kind of lady that if she didn't like what she did, she would have told
you.
Oh, yeah.
You want to do justice to a role that is identified. You know, she is identified with Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah, but in the musical, you're the one that's identified with
that's the role.
True. How do you feel the responsibility of that? You created the role. You set the benchmark for Sophia.
This particular piece holds such a great responsibility because I didn't figure it out until after we were running, because I have so many people come to you, and yes, so many people come to you, women, and they're crying because they've been abused. And physically, you know, they've been attacked and emotionally attacked for whatever reasons. And they come out crying and they come out saying that this has shown them to get a backbone.
Wow. So it's much
more. So it's become a lot more heavier than I ever imagined. It is a great weight and responsibility.
Do you feel that with the audiences?
Yes. Yes, the first
time. Tell us about the reaction.
The first time I say hell no, they kind of like scream, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, it is something. Some nights, I mean, and it varies. This is not the kind of typical theater that you come to and you just sit and listen. There is activity in that audience, and people are talking back to you, and they're laughing uproariously when they're appropriate places. And there is no night that you don't stand on that passerelle and people are not crying. And I mean men, too.
Well, that's the mark of great theater.
Yes.
It could reach into your soul like that.
Yes, yes.
And they
don't
of course,
care.
You got some great up-tempo numbers. There's some big dance numbers
yes,
in the show.
Yes, there is. Push the Button. Yeah, that's the Shug Avery in the Juke Joint.
In the Juke Joint, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you in that? You're in that.
No. I come into the Juke Joint, but only to knock out the new girlfriend.
Oh, okay. Well, getting back to more of your career here in Chicago. At Drury Lane, Evergreen Park, you were in Sophisticated Ladies and got Best Actress, got the Jeff Award.
Yeah, Mark Robin put me in that musical. Actually, I had been slated to do something else, and it got canceled, and that was at Drury Lane Oakbrook. And when he found out that I was available, he graciously got another contract together to put me on board. I was doing a children's show for him during the day, and then we came to sign contracts, and he surprised me and pulled that one out. And then I got a Jefferson Award.
That's a fabulous part, too.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's the Phyllis Hyman role. Yeah.
And musically, that's It's a brilliant work.
It is. It is.
You also did Bloody Mary in South Pacific.
Another Gary Griffin vision. I never watching that as a kid thought for 1 minute I would be playing that role. But as I say, Gary has no restriction on his vision.
And that's there's a couple of big songs in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Happy Talk.
Happy Talk. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you did Nellie Fowler in Carousel, too.
Yes. Yes. You'll Never Walk Alone.
Yeah. That is a big, big show. So you said that Color Purple is a little different than the movie.
Yes.
Can you be a little more specific? What can we anticipate when we come see the show?
In doing this piece, there's no possible way, of course, if it's a movie, that you can do it exactly the same way. The liberties that you can do, you know, in film that you just can't do live. Along with the fact that it is a musical, so there are things that have to be changed so that the music can come through.
Right.
And so there, you have a team of music writers, Allie Willis, Stephen Bray, Brenda Russell, who are not musical theater savvy.
Okay.
And they have taken this music score to a whole different level. And it changes. What has happened is it's a lot of the words from maybe the movie or the book have been incorporated in song.
In song.
Yes.
And I would imagine, I haven't heard the whole score. I've heard parts of it. You have, what, gospel,
it's a gospel
jazz,
flavor.
It's a flavor.
Yes, and a fusion of a lot of, and then there's musical theater also. Yes.
And there's some big up-tempo dance numbers,
yes,
too, right?
Yes, yes. And they have, in the production in New York, they have some brilliant, brilliant dancers in Africa that defy the laws of gravity. Because they flip in the air, and I wonder, do they have bones some days,
oh,
you know?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It is a spectacle all within itself, but nothing distracts you from the story.
Yeah, the story is quite powerful.
You know, and that's Gary Griffin's mark. He is definitely... Because I remember doing Carousel, and I think we started off with like four or five horses, and before it was over, it was just one horse in the middle of the stage, because he doesn't want you to be overwhelmed by set pieces and things that will distract you from him telling the story.
So this is a play, that musical, that the story stands out.
Exactly.
And it's a lesson for women can relate to it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And there are so many various parts of the journey, from the abuse of old Mr. to Mr. to Mr.'s son, Harpo. It is really equipped for men as well as women, that you can walk out of there and learn something about how not to be or how to be.
Yeah, that's kind of what I got out of the film.
Yes.
I have not seen the show, and I just cannot wait. It's going to open here in Chicago in April, I believe, April 17th.
Yes.
And the buzz and anticipation on this show has already been building up.
Oh, wow.
And I've been told that the churches are buying up tickets by the busload are going
right,
to be coming
right.
down. So
yeah.
I have a feeling that you're going to draw more than just the Chicago crowd. I think it's going to be
from the Midwest. Even in New York, there are people saying they're coming back. I'm from Ohio. You know, I'm from St. Louis, and I'm coming back when it comes to Chicago.
This is be a journey home for you, right?
Oh, God, yes.
You are looking forward to it.
I am looking. There's no place like home. Dorothy said it, and it's so true.
But how would you compare your New York experience with the Chicago experience? I'll put you on the spot.
Well, again. Chicago is home.
Okay.
So, you know, when you're in an environment of home, you're comfortable. You know, it's such a great place to live and clean. And if you don't think about that, go to New York and stay for a week.
Okay.
And there's no place better to go and eat. And it is.
How about audience? How different are the audiences?
The audiences in New York are definitely audiences that come for theater. But it's not because they come from New York. It's because they come from all over the world.
Yeah, it's becoming kind of a tourist attraction.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
They come because they are theater conscious and savvy enough to say, I want to see five shows while I'm there.
That's exactly they what come I do with when the, I go to yes. New York. Yes.
They have a determination to come and see nothing but shows. You know, where a lot of times when you're at home, you take for granted, you know, your accessibility to good theater. So we don't have, we're having new people come to the theater, but I would love to see more people at home here.
Well, that's what I'm understanding is happening. It happened with Wicked, brought in the young female girls to theater and other people too.
Yes.
But I mean that hit that area and they're now starting to see other shows.
Yes,
I think Color Purple is going to do that here in Chicago too.
I think
it's it's bringing people into theater. It will bring people in who don't normally go to theater.
Right, exactly. And it will bring them into the fold and say, I'm coming back to theater. Because I saw Wicked when I first got to New York. It's an amazing piece of theater. I don't get a chance to go to see shows very often because I'm working. So
it's a good reason not to see the other ones.
But it was really, really a wonderful experience. And I hope that when people come to see The Color Purple, they will feel the same way that I felt. You know, because I think theater should be life-changing.
Well, do you remember when Broadway in Chicago did that promotion a few months back? I believe you were...
Over at the Cadillac.
Cadillac. Did you believe how many people were there?
It was amazing to me because I was like, oh, my God.
Just for our listeners, generally when they do these promotions, there's maybe 50, 100 people, sometimes 200.
That place was...
It was like 2,000.
Yeah. So
and the advanced, I forget how many $1 million worth of tickets they sold. I didn't know get the final number, but... And that was a year ahead of time.
Yeah.
You've got to be that excited.
Yeah, it is. And it's well worth it. I don't usually say this if I don't think it's true. But it is truly a piece of theater that's well worth coming to see.
And how long do you plan on being in the show?
Well, they've asked me to be in it quite a long time, but I think that my character shouldn't be wheeled in.
So, but that begs that question of how do you sustain? It's one thing to sustain it over, you know, 8 shows in a week and 2 or 3 months, but how do you sustain it over a long period of time, like a year or two?
Yeah, and it's, you know, I have never missed a show since November 1st because I'm from the old school of theater.
You're from the Chicago school of theater, yeah. People don't miss
it. I don't get a cold and not come to work. I come to work, and especially in New York because that's what I'm there for. And so it is something to get yourself going every day to do every week to do 8 shows. But there's something about this show that when you hear, because I never look in the house, but I can hear the energy and feel the energy of the house, and it keeps you going. It keeps you going. Because these people are coming because you can hear that they want to enjoy the show.
Yeah, I've been in audiences like that. Yeah.
Yes.
And I can imagine how much stronger it is from the other end of the stage.
Yeah. It's something that I've never experienced before.
Well, going back into your little bit of your history, I know you haven't, but tell us some of the shows you are proudest.
Well,
how you got your start. Let me go with that question.
Oh, actually, this is a good question. I was at church, actually, and at Antioch in Roseland, in Inglewood, I'm sorry, Antioch in Inglewood. And there, at that time, my pastor, his name was Wilbur Daniel, he was on the board, and Fred Rice was the police.
Yeah, I remember, sure. He's the police superintendent.
Yes. So this gentleman, Bill Geller, his wife writes music. She wrote Christmas Schooner, the music for Christmas Schooner, and Stones.
Talking about Julie Shannon?
Julie Shannon.
I know Julie and John Rieger.
And John Rieger wrote the book for Stones.
Right.
So they had come to the church and they needed somebody that was inexpensive that they could put demo stuff on their well, at that time it was a tape. And so they asked me, would I mind coming out to their house? They had a little studio. I said, no. So we went there and I sang. And they had a gentleman playing the piano. His name was Rufus Hill. And Rufus was playing and they thought about it and they said, they're having auditions for The Wiz at the Marriott Lincolnshire. You really should go and audition. I thought about it and I did.
But you had not had a musical background singing in church?
That's it.
That's fabulous.
That's it. And that's I did not know that. I got my start.
I know that John had told me that you did a demo for.
Yes, I did a lot of demos for Julie. Okay. Julie and that Stones project was the project that kept me, you know, going with them.
And then when you went to the audition, you got the part?
Yeah.
And then what? And it's just one part after
another? And one part after another just started falling into place. Yeah.
And you had no acting training?
No. I started getting classes after.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, talk about a natural.
Oh, wow.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, I did not know that story.
Okay. See?
And tell us some of the roles now in Chicago that you were the proudest of. That you like to do, you know, that you...
I, of course, love Catashaw. Yeah, I love Catashaw. And the Amen Corner was a piece that I did at the Goodman Theater that I really, really enjoyed doing. And Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
That's a great piece. Yeah.
And it was a great piece of work to just be able to bust in, you know, and kind of shake up the whole event of what was going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Those have got to be fun roles to do.
Yes, yes. I'd love to do Dolly again at some point in time because I think I'm a little more seasoned now to do it.
Well, I remember Pearl Bailey. I did not see you do it. I remember seeing Pearl Bailey do it, and it was fabulous.
Yes.
And I was one of those that said that I thought she did a better job than Carol Channing because Carol Channing sort of made a career out of it.
Yes, yes.
And it was refreshing. So you'd like to do that again.
I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind taking another stab.
Producers out there, and after 2 or 3 years of Color Purple, that might be a nice different role.
It would be. It would be. April 17th.
And just to summarize it, you're recommending that people get tickets pretty soon.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing too.
And we're hoping that it'll get so much play here that it'll stay as long as Wicked.
You know, Spelling Bee's done well. Wicked has done very well here. And everybody's believing that the Color Purple will do well here. And that'll help establish Chicago theater as being a valid place for permanent sit-down shows.
I don't really know why people have to do that, but because it certainly is a theater place, you know. It's good to have the knowledge that I would like to share the knowledge that this particular piece, because I think people think because it is set up as an all-African-American cast that, people are apprehensive about going, feeling that they don't identify with it the same way. And the thing is about this piece is that it is not color-specific. It is definitely an emotional journey anybody.
I agree. Every time I see it, I get it.
Yes.
It really affects me. Yeah.
It does not circle in on any particular color. It is something that anybody will enjoy.
And all races and ethnic groups have had the similar problems. I mean, the Europeans, that was a mentality to beat wives and women for centuries.
It still
is in some cultures.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but I think one of the great things that shows like Color Purple will do, and I'm sure you know Jackie Taylor.
Yeah, yeah.
The Black Ensemble.
She's seen the show.
Yeah. And she told me it was fabulous.
Yeah, she came out and
but
saw the show.
Between Color Purple and people like Jackie Taylor, the African Americans are starting to really come out to theater. Because I know you know the folks from Congo Square.
Yes.
And their stuff is terrific too.
Yes.
So but I think Color Purple is gonna lead the charge. I really do.
I hope so.
You're looking forward to coming home. I can see it in your eyes.
I am so looking forward to coming home. Nothing against New York.
But it's great to come home and triumphant in a tremendous show.
Yes.
We are so looking forward to this. And folks, get out and go to the Broadway in Chicago website and start ordering your tickets.
Yes,
and get the groups to go. Because otherwise they're going to get shut out.
That's very true.
Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
It is so great to see one of the truly great divas of Chicago theater coming home in a great vehicle.
Thank you.
I just cannot wait to see this show.
I can't wait till you come.
All right, thank you.
I can't wait till you come. And Chris Jones and Hedy Weiss, they have flown out to see the New York production, so they'll have something to compare it to.
Well, and Chris saw the Atlanta production. Remember when he came back?
He's been very supportive. He has been right there, and we are very happy about that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think people are going to embrace. I think this will be fun. Folks, get out to see.
Come on.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for listening to this week's episode of the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast. I would like to thank Felicia Fields for giving us the honor of interviewing her this week. Also, I would like to thank Tom Williams and Mark Meyer, without whom this show would not be possible. Remember, we are here every Monday with a new episode, ready for your listening pleasure. So until next time, I'm your host, Dustin Mote, reminding you that theater's happening. Don't miss it.